Service is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be His ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III. And I'm joined by the full J-Square contingent, Mr. Jason Tross on my right, Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room. And I'm so excited to be back with you. I am back. Oh, man, I had a wonderful time, and I'm doing nothing, minding my business, spending time with the family at the University of Mary Hardin Baylor in Belton, Texas. I was invited there to preach at their chapel service. That's where I was this week, encouraging some young people. And, man, what a great time we had. It was such a pleasure being with them, some such wonderful people, the campus ministry staff, you know, Yvette and Jason and Dr. Brandon, who I didn't get to hang out as much with, but. All right, man. It was a great time. It was encouraging for me, as much as I hope it was encouraging for them. But wonderful supporters. I kept hearing people say, "I listen to your show every day." You know, in the great state of Texas, that was amazing. And I was just minding my business, and somebody had to go and tell Nancy Pelosi to announce impeachment inquiries. Like what? We'll get to that later. We'll get to that foolishness du jour. But man, what an amazing time. Got to meet young people, and I'm telling you, man, I get encouraged every time I get the opportunity to talk to all kinds of people, but specifically our young people. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. Don't get lost in the sauce. People talking about our young people, the millennials this, millennials that. We have to be careful. That's not everybody. You know, the Lord has a remnant, and that remnant isn't limited to age demographics. There's a remnant even amongst millennials. There's a remnant amongst every generation. And if you understand the scripture, you know that the body of Christ is always intended to be a multi-generational force. So I just want to tell the University of Mary Hardin Baylor family, thank you so much for inviting me. It's something I will never forget. My wife and I talked about until the wee hours of the morning when I got home, and it was a great time. And let me also say, if you are in the Cincinnati, Ohio area, I will be in your area in November, November 15th and 16th, at the Truth for a New Generation Apologetics Conference, hosted by Alex McFarland, who is one half of the Exploring the Word team here at American Family Radio. It airs daily at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. But I will be joining, man, a wonderful group of Christ-following, Christ-exalting people. Josh McDowell will be there. I believe Erwin Lutzer will be there. Ryan Baumberger will be there. So it's going to be a great time. You can register for that at truthforanewgeneration.com. And I'll also be in Washington, D.C. In a couple weeks, actually. 2 weeks. Yeah, at the Values Voter Summit. So, man, I'm hitting the road quite a bit. And, man, if you think I've been traveling a bit this year, next year it's going to be a whole nother ball game. The schedule is filling up. But I praise God for these opportunities. And I also want to let you know that our share-a-thon, our fall share-a-thon, is coming up next week as well, actually 3 weeks from now. And we are asking for listener testimonies, listener stories. This radio station, if this program has been a blessing to you, we'd like to hear from you. What we do is have you call in to the number I'm going to give you in a second, and you're going to leave the equivalent of a voice message. So you don't have to worry about being live on the radio and things of that nature. It'll be just like a voice message. Our production staff will get a hold of that, produce it, and then during our share-a-thon, you'll likely hear your voice during the share-a-thon. If you would like to leave a listener story, you can do so by calling 877-876-8893. That number again is 877-876-8893. All right. Praise God. Any more announcements I left out? Well, let's just get to getting then, shall we? Genesis chapter 2 is where I'm going to start. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And actually, I might hop over to Mark as well. Genesis chapter 2, let's see how we go. Verses 1 through 3, and the Bible says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. There in that passage of scripture, we have the historical basis for the Sabbath day, which later comes in the Ten Commandments, you know, to honor the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. The Lord unfolding the creation in 6 days and resting on the seventh is actually the foundation for our 7 day work week. You know, this is one of those things that the world doesn't work without God. You know, there's no other basis for our work week consisting of 7 days other than the Lord unfolding creation in six and resting on the seventh. In fact, when the French Revolution occurred, and a key component of the French Revolution was atheism. And so those French revolutionists understood that the precursor, the foundation for the seven day work week was the Bible. And so they said, hey, let's make the work week 10 days. And so they experimented with that because of that fact. But I want to point out for you that the Lord instituted the seventh day as a day of rest. Now, I'm going to hop over to Mark chapter 2 and mention this. All right, Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28 says this. One Sabbath, he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look at what they're doing. Look. Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he, Jesus, said to them, have you never read? Jesus might have hit him with a, come on, man. Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now that was a tremendous expression of Jesus's claim to divinity. Saying, you ragamuffins, you complaining about the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, you suckers. Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. But the thing I want to focus on today is the fact that God has given us a Sabbath. And the Lord said it himself, Jesus himself, the God-man, said himself that man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The very simple communication I want to offer for us today is make sure that we're not trying to burn a candle at both ends. You know, sometimes we can get so spun up with our desires to be faithful and our desires to be diligent, and you're running 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 and you never take a time. You never take a moment to stop and to rest. Listen, God is the author of the Sabbath. Take it. Take time to rest. Take time to unplug from the busyness, from the habitual routines, and to reconnect with your families. Husbands, take time to take everything away and connect with your wives. Wives, take time to put everything else on the side and connect with your husbands. Parents, take time to put everything else aside and connect with your children. And children, take time to put everything aside and connect with your parents. I think one of the subtle, tacit attacks of the enemy that he's been extremely successful with is having us, Jason, can I have a Kleenex, please? Is having us burning the candle at both ends. You know, in all too many instances, excuse me, I have a sneezing spree going on here. In too many instances, many of us live as though we're robots. Like we'll never burn out. We'll never wear down. We don't need a time to refuel, to refire. Man, God has given us the Sabbath. Take it. Take it. Unplug, reconnect. You know, it's a critical thing for us to do. Because if we're not careful, you'll wake up. And man, 10 years have gone by. You know, too many times I've heard and experienced and even had counsel with people. When you have spouses and their entire lives revolve around their children. And you know what happens with children? They grow up. They grow up. And they move out. And you have moms and pops in the house together. And they realize, man, we're strangers. Or, you know, and I've referred to this reading Psalm 127 before, especially as men, sometimes we're so consumed with worldly ambition that we got to go, we got to get it, we got to go, we got to get it, we got to grind, we got to hustle, we got to grind, we got to hustle. And man, the Lord told us in Psalm 127, in vain do you stay awake at night. The Lord giveth his beloved rest. So what I'm simply saying is we need to prioritize our families and take breaks. I know it seems simple, and I know it's and not seems simple. I know it is simple, and it's very basic, but it's something that too often it's ignored. It's ignored numerous times. I've had situations to where I've spoken to some women who've been mothers, and that they've loved their children, oftentimes working outside of the home and serving their families, and they get to a place where they have a hard time adjusting when their children become adults. Because they realize, man, all my life they've needed me, and now I realize they don't need me. And they have a difficult time adjusting. Oftentimes, one of the chief rivals to us having vibrant prayer lives is busyness. Our schedules are jam-packed with so much stuff. We're working and we're soccer practicing it, and we're ripping and running, we're blowing and going, and then you wonder why, man, I just feel like I'm exhausted. I feel like I'm overwhelmed. Take the rest. Take the rest. And I really feel that it's critically important that we're having this conversation today. I pray every day before we come on the air. And I felt like it was critical to have this conversation. And listen, I know what it's like to be busy. I'm very busy. You know, I'm very busy. I do the radio program in addition to my responsibilities as the General Counsel for American Family Association. And I'm pastoring in a local assembly. But guess what? We have to take the Sabbath. And we have to be intentional about these things. And so the gentle encouragement is that the man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God demonstrated for us, even in the creation of our world, that on 6 days he created, and then on the seventh day he rested. Now think about this. God doesn't need a break. He's God. But he includes that in his word for our benefit. Then he adds it to the Ten Commandments. He adds it to the Ten Commandments. Then you fast forward into the New Testament era, into where the Pharisees, you know, they probably were the forerunners for the curmudgeons. Oh, he's supposed to be the Lord. Look at his disciples. They're running through the field, snapping off corn ears. He's supposed to be a pious religious man. And Jesus hit him with the literacy rhetorical question. Have you not read? Now, Jesus saying, have you not read the Pharisees is really a highlight of insult. Because the touchstone of Pharisaical existence is being students of the law. But Jesus hit him with the, have you not read? David was on the run from Saul. That's the context that Jesus was talking about. And he and his company, they were hungry. And so they went into the temple and got the bread that is only supposed to be reserved for priests. And then David broke it off and shared it with his friend. You see, the lessons, you scribes who don't read, is that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, take the rest. Prioritize the rest. Prioritize our families. Connect, engage, and make sure you don't have to always relight the fire because you never let the fire go out in the first place. That's what I'm talking about today here on the Hamilton Corner.
pro-abortionist graffiti has an ironic message. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. In Chicago, there's a massive billboard showing a beautiful baby girl. She's sleeping peacefully. Her hair is light blonde. She's wrapped in a cozy gray blanket. The caption on the billboard says, "A baby is a baby, born and unborn." Apparently, this darling baby and the truths on the billboard were offensive to someone. So some pro-abortion vandals spray-painted "My Body, My Choice" in ugly black letters right over the baby's face. But here's the irony. The picture of the sleeping infant makes it clear she has her own body. She has her own brain, her own heart, and her own DNA. That argument fails to take into account there's another human being, another body, with her own set of rights. Born and unborn, babies are people too. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed himself in nature and his word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook, are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Regressives continue to shout at us about a mythical consensus that 97% of scientists agree that the globe is warming catastrophically and man is to blame. That's a bogus number. The real number is closer to 3%. But now this, 500 leading scientists and climate experts sent a letter to the UN this week stating flatly there is no climate emergency. They say there is no statistical evidence that global warming is intensifying hurricanes, floods, droughts, and such like natural disasters, or making them more frequent. CO2, they say, is not a pollutant but plant food, the basis of all life on Earth. Climate crisis hysteria is not based on facts, but on computer models that are wildly out of alignment with the truth. Bottom line, they say, there is no cause for panic and alarm. There's your scientific consensus.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Along the lines of rest and prioritizing, I never forget, and I'm just going to share this and move on quickly. I remember my wife and I were having a conversation. And if you don't know, we are a homeschooling family. And so my younger ones are at home with my wife. We were talking about just things in the day. And I said, babe, you know, if you have to make a decision between pouring into our children and cleaning the house, please leave the cleaning for later. I can clean up, you know. And by the way, we're not trying to have a museum. We live here. So if you ever come to my house, just know we live here. You're not going to find a museum. And I felt like I was important to communicate. And that was a great moment for us because our priority here is making disciples. You know, if you're going to disciple a dust, let's make disciples. You know, we can get this going at a later date. All right. Now, as I stated at the beginning of the show, I was just in Texas minding my business, having a great time with the University of Mary Hardin Baylor students and staff and spiritual life staff. And then I make the mistake of turning on the news. Why would I do that? And I see the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi. And you know, I have this thing. I listen to what people say. And I was thought, that I was, because while I was traveling, I didn't have the opportunity to dig into stuff like I normally dig into stuff. So hearing her news conference was the first time I heard about it. So she's talking and she says that we are moving forward with a launch of a formal impeachment inquiry into President Trump. And I said, huh, inquiry, not an impeachment process. Is somebody leaving themselves an out? And I said, I thought, she did. So I listened a little longer and I realized that the basis for this transition in Nancy Pelosi's stance, because the more extreme regressives, because let's be clear, they're all regressives, but the more extreme regressives in the House have been demanding President Trump to be impeached after he was elected, before he was inaugurated. I mean, Representative Green from Texas, Houston, Texas, has filed articles for impeachment several times now, you know, and Nancy Pelosi has rejected those calls for the longest. So what's making her change course now? Well, I learned, and you guys, most of you have heard about this. I'm catching up, so just let me catch up a little bit. Found that it was a whistleblower complaint. We now know, we learned today, that this whistleblower is a member of the CIA. And he had a detail in the White House. But I found it interesting to note that the whistleblower communicated urgent concern to Richard Burr, the chairman of the Select Committee on Intelligence in the Senate, and Adam Schiff, the chairman of the Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence in the House of Representatives. The first thing I note is that this whistleblower complaint was given to Adam Schiff and the Senate chairman on August 12th, 2019. Oh, yeah, look at the date up here. Now, we are today in September 26th in the year of our Lord, 2019. So if you had this complaint since August 12th, what have you been waiting on? Since you're going to change course. I'm just throwing some things out there for now. We'll get to that. But I thought, so they've had this information since the 12th, but they hadn't done anything with it until now. Interesting, right? Well, going further in the complaint itself, it turns out that the so-called whistleblower, this whistleblower, did not have any information firsthand. See, back in New Orleans, we call that talking behind people. This so-called whistleblower is sharing as an urgent concern, things that he heard from other people. Talking behind people. Having no firsthand information himself, but sharing what he heard from others. And so what was the complaint? The complaint was, and I'll just read from it. Quote, in the course of my official duties, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials. Translation, hearsay. That the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election. Oh, word? So that's what we're doing now? So then we just spend a couple years talking about the President used the Russians to interfere in the 2016 election. So now the President is conspiring. Now remember, he's talking behind people. He heard this. That the President is using his office to solicit a foreign power to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. election. He goes on, this interference includes, among other things, pressuring a foreign country to investigate one of the President's main domestic political rivals. The President's lawyer, Mr. Rudolph Giuliani, is a central figure in this effort. And he goes on from there. That's right. We call that gossip. I don't want to mispronounce your name. A Wilder, if I'm mispronouncing it, I'm sorry, is on Facebook saying, we call that gossip. You're right. You're right, Shaq. Sure you're right. Well, let me keep going here. So then I say, well, wait a minute. So you are sharing this complaint with Adam Schiff and the Democrats, and you did this on August 12th. On August 12th. I immediately thought, uh-oh, they're about to step in it again. They're about to step in it again because I had the sneaky suspicion that this Nancy Pelosi, the same Nancy Pelosi who told us about Obamacare that we needed to pass the bill before we could know what was in it, the same Nancy Pelosi is announcing an inquiry concerning impeachment before she knew the details of the call. Because I think they were all surprised to learn that the president said, oh, you're talking about my call to the Ukrainian president? I'll release the transcript of my call. And this, folks, is where it gets extremely interesting. Because I have, and this is amazing how this stuff happens. I have in my hands a New York Times article, which the president of AFA, Tim Wildman, and I were discussing an MSN article. And he mentioned the contents of the MSN article to me. And I said, Tim, isn't it interesting that the language in this MSN article is identical to what's published on the New York Times' article today? Like they copied it and pasted it. Yes. So the New York Times article begins this way, and the MSN article, because they were identical. The New York Times article begins, the whistleblower who revealed that President Trump sought foreign help for his reelection. Now, the thing about this stuff is I read. I have a copy right in my hands of the president's transcript from the phone call to the Ukrainian president. When the New York Times writes, the whistleblower who revealed that President Trump sought foreign help, first of all, and this is just a throwaway. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. But a whistleblower is an official description based on federal law. One of the primary requirements to be a whistleblower is that you're communicating with information you learn firsthand. So any reference to this individual as a whistleblower is not a legal reference, because you cannot be a legal whistleblower within the full protection of the legal statute concerning whistleblowers unless you're reporting firsthand information. So every time these reporters say the whistleblower, just know they're lying to you. He's not a legal whistleblower, but put that aside for the moment. The story goes on to say the whistleblower who revealed that President Trump sought foreign help for his reelection. That's what the Times said. Sought foreign help for his reelection. Folks, I read the notes from the call. That's a flat out lie. There is nothing in the call notes, and I encourage you to read it for yourself, that shows the president is seeking help with his reelection. That's just a flat out lie. Then it goes on to say, and that the White House sought to cover up. Excuse me? You mean the same White House that declassified the notes from the call? That White House? And look, y'all know me. I'm not a Trumpkin. I'm not one of these people that's going to defend the president no matter what. But come on. This dispenses with anything that would approach objectivity. You begin your story with flat out lies. That's just the tip of the iceberg. So not only that, man, and we probably should get to this Adam Schiff stuff first. Well, let me get to the way that this was reported. So the way that this has been reported in the lying media, the talking snakes that they are, is that the president, and I'm going to get to the exact verbiage, is that the president asked the Ukrainian president for a favor. And then the way that it's reported is that that favor had to do with an investigation concerning Joe Biden. Another lie! Page 3 in the notes from the call shows, and I'll read from it. I'll read from it for you so you can hear this. President Trump called, quote, I would like you to do us a favor, though, because our country has been through a lot and Ukraine knows a lot about it. I would like you to find out what happened with this whole situation with Ukraine. They say CrowdStrike. I guess you have one of your wealthy people. The server, they say Ukraine has it. In the call, folks, the president's reference to a request for a favor has to do with an organization called CrowdStrike. Nothing to do with Biden. The request for a favor had nothing to do with Biden. But what they did is they took that quote from page 3, completely skipped the remainder of page, and that's at the top of page 3. I'll show you if you're watching the show. It's up here in this where I've highlighted. Let me get into the camera. Then they skip all of this body of language because there's an entire conversation going on following the president's reference to CrowdStrike. Then later on in the dialogue, Biden comes up. And the media says Biden was mentioned 7 times. That's a lie. Biden was mentioned 2 or 3 times at most. And the way that it's mentioned in the call, it's a casual reference. You can tell it's Trump just talking to the president, talking. There is nothing in the call about quid pro quo. You just do this for me, I'll do this for you. That's not even in it at all. But that didn't stop the media from lying about it. And then today, some people call him Adam Pencilneck Schiff. I'm not going to call him that. Pencilneck Schiff. I'm not going to call him Pencilneck Adam Schiff. Pencilneck. I'm not going to do that. Pencilneck. They call him Pencilneck, right? It just so happens that today he's having a hearing where the acting national intelligence director is appearing before him. And this dude just straight up lies about what the president said to begin the hearing. I want you to listen for yourself the way that the one they call Pencilneck, because see, I'm not going to call him that. I'm not going to do it, Marty. I'm not going to call him Adam Pencilneck Schiff, Marty. No, Pencilneck, not going to do it. Listen to the way he began the hearing. Now, he's the chairman of this Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Listen to how he begins the hearing. Clip number two.
Had at least two objectives. Get a meeting with the president and get more military help. And so what happened on that call? Zelensky begins by ingratiating himself, and he tries to enlist the support of the president. He expresses his interest in meeting with the president and says his country wants to acquire more weapons from us to defend itself. And what is the president's response? Well, it reads like a classic organized crime shakedown. Shorn of its rambling character and in not so many words, this is the essence of what the president communicates. We've been very good to your country, very good. No other country has done as much as we have. But you know what? I don't see much reciprocity here. I hear what you want. I have a favor I want from you, though. And I'm going to say this only 7 times, so you better listen good. I want you to make up dirt on my political opponent, understand lots of it, on this and on that. I'm going to put you in touch with people, not just any people. I'm going to put you in touch with Attorney General of the United States, my Attorney General, Bill Barr. He's got the whole weight of the American law enforcement behind him. And I'm going to put you in touch with Rudy. You're going to love him, trust me. You know what I'm asking, and so I'm only going to say this a few more times, in a few more ways. And by the way, don't call me again. I'll call you when you've done what I asked.
Now, I'm just going to tell you directly. Adam Schiff is flat out lying. And as the hearing went on, one of his fellow committee members pointed out to him, you're saying that's what the president said? That's not what he said. And listen to how Adam Schiff responds to this. It's clip number 3.
As an aside, I want to mention that my colleague is right on both counts. It's not okay, but also my summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody.
Now, hold up, Chief. When do we start? I mean, these were his opening remarks for the congressional hearing. When did we start using parody to begin congressional hearings? My remarks, play one more time. I know it's only 11 seconds. Play it one more time.
As an aside, I want to mention that my colleague is right on both counts. It's not okay, but also my summary of the president's call was meant to be at least part in parody.
Folks, Adam Schiff is admitting that he just lied to the American people and to this committee. When did we begin congressional hearings with parody? And you think if it's parody, you want to tell people, hey, by the way, this is a parody of what I think happened between the president and the Ukrainian president. No, you know why he did it that way? Because he knows very well that the lying national media we have in our country, they are going to take the soundbite of what he said and splatter it all over the media, just like they did with the Russian collusion, because there's a significant contingent of American citizens who believe the Russians changed voting machines because of our national media. And he knows that our lying media is going to splatter that all over the world. Trump is sounding like a gangster. He's saying that I've done more for you than any country. Now I need you to do something for me. And he knows that the media is going to run with that narrative. But he does it anyway. Folks, these people, Lord bless them. Because I don't want to say nothing wrong. We'll be back after this break.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We have been in a combat zone, and the stresses on soldiers come out quickly. It's an absolute joy to have the soldiers come back to you and say, man, you don't know how much that helped. It's a huge mission field.
Exploring Missions. Listen Saturday evening at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoon at 1 on American Family Radio.
Accurately interpreting Scripture. This is David Wheaton, host of the Christian Worldview. If you've ever been in a group Bible study, you have probably heard an attendee say, what this passage means to me is, with all due respect, it matters not one whit what the Bible means to any given person, but rather what God means in the Bible. The goal of studying Scripture is to understand God's intent via the human author whom he inspired to write the text. The Christian's call is clear in 2 Timothy 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Hear an interview about interpreting Scripture at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A Pennsylvania diner serves up a side of kindness. That story next. Lisa Melander was having a meal at the Eaton Park Diner in Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania the other day. She noticed an elderly man seated in a nearby booth, a 91-year-old World War II veteran named Frank. He apologized to the server for not hearing all that well on account of his war service, and he forgot his hearing aids. So the server dropped to one knee so Frank could hear better. And when he brought Frank's order, the server sat down and listened as Frank shared stories about the war, about his family, the places he'd been, the things he'd seen. The lonely war veteran just wanted someone to talk to. Mrs. Melander was so moved, she offered to pay Frank's meal, but it turns out another diner already picked up the tab. Just a reminder, there are still plenty of good and decent people in this country. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Man, this time has literally flown by. We will open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you'd like to join the program is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. But I have some more I want to get to before we open up the phone lines, but you are welcome to call. Make sure I got the things open. Yes, sir. To join the program. First thing we discussed on the show is man is not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for man. Take your rest, people. Take your rest. The second thing, which is we spend the bulk of the time talking about, is this charade that's going on with this whistleblower complaint. I mean, Adam Schiff flat out lied to the American people. President Trump didn't say anything like that. It's a complete mischaracterization and falsification of what the president said. And it begs the question, why won't the media report the reference to CrowdStrike? Why is the national media sidestepping that? Could it be because CrowdStrike is the company that when the 2016 election occurred, the DNC alleged that they had been hacked. The FBI shows up and say, okay, let us investigate your servers. The DNC says, no, thank you. We're going to let CrowdStrike conduct the forensic investigation on our server. And then CrowdStrike comes back and says, hey, you know what? It's the Russians. Then the DNC says, it's the Russians. Interestingly, CrowdStrike has in the past been known to be inaccurate in their conclusions concerning forensic examinations. You know that Russia's basically at a standoff with the Ukrainians. There was an allegation that the Russians hacked a Ukrainian artillery app that resulted in thousands of Russians being killed. CrowdStrike investigated, said, oh, yes, the Russians hacked the Ukrainian app and killed their own people. The Ukraine came back and said, no, they didn't. CrowdStrike recanted. Oh, we were wrong about saying that the Russians hacked the Ukrainian app. Do you think the American people may want to know about that? That the bases for the allegations that really served as one of the main facts that bolstered the pursuit, or the main alleged facts that bolstered the idea that the Russians were involved in our election? I mean, if CrowdStrike was wrong then, how do we know they're not wrong now? Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. And I also want to remind you that this whistleblower complaint was in Adam Schiff's office since August 12th. August 12th. So why, oh why, would they hold on to it for all of this time and now release it September 24th in conjunction with an impeachment inquiry? I may be wrong about this. I could be wrong. But could it be that this is another distraction tactic combined with an effort to extend this resistance coup agenda and turn a little bit of the attention away from the fact that, oh, I don't know, Hunter Biden getting paid $50,000 a month for an energy deal in an industry that he know at least has zero experience in? Could it also be because we're finding out that there were lots of 2016 Obama administration operatives hanging out in the Ukraine? And Nancy Pelosi realized, oh, snap, we need to get out in front of this and throw a bit of dust at the wall so that the American people, oh, nothing to see here. Nothing's going on here. Oh, don't look over here. Don't look over here. So that they continue to repeat unsubstantiated in reference to the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden connection with the Ukraine. And didn't Adam Schiff, wasn't he the one who said that, I want to get the exact quote. Let me get it right. He said that the notes from President Trump's call to the Ukrainian president, it read like an organized crime shakedown. Well, if you ask me, I think I've heard something that sounded like an organized crime shakedown. It sounded a little bit like this. Play clip number one.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko. They would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Mm. Organized, reads like an organized crime shakedown. That sounds like a crime boss to me. Because this prosecutor that Joe Biden is referring to, and I've mentioned this to you before, it wasn't just any prosecutor, you see. He's referring to the Ukrainian equivalent to our attorney general in America. This is the chief prosecutor in the entire nation. And so you have a prosecutor who at the time just so happens to be investigating a company that your son sits on the board on, and your son is being paid $50,000 a month by this company. And you have been given the responsibility of distributing $1 billion to the company, to the Ukraine. But you tell the Ukrainian president, unless you get rid of that prosecutor, you ain't getting this money. That sounds like an organized crime shakedown, if you ask me. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a talk show host. Boy, I'm telling you, these people are ridiculous. Phone lines are open. If you want to join the program, you're welcome to call. The number to do so is 888-589-8840. The number again is 888-589-8840. Let me mention this before I take the first call. The trial for former police officer Amber Geiger in Dallas is happening right now in Dallas, Texas. If you remember, this is a case where Amber Geiger entered the apartment of Botham Jean, who is the young man, the 26-year-old man who was a worship leader at his church. She entered his apartment and shot him dead in his apartment. That trial is going on right now. Today, the prosecution rested after four straight days of testimony. The court adjourned, and the defense is expected to begin their case or to continue with their case tomorrow. So I just wanted to let you know she was originally arrested on manslaughter charges. Later, she was indicted on murder charges. And so she is being tried. Amber Geiger is being tried for murder in Dallas. And so I am going to keep up with that trial and provide some legal analysis and things of that nature of the case as it transpires. All right. To the phone lines we go. We will start in Mississippi where Carrie is on the line. Carrie, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much, Alexander, and your whole team for speaking the truth. It takes a lifetime to develop and maintain a good name. And for Adam Schiff's parody today, I think he should be sued for slander. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for your call and your comments, Carrie. You know, I think a lot of the American people and a lot of listeners will share your sentiment. You know, if you're familiar with the laws, the public defamation laws, because the president is a public figure, there's such a high bar. One of the reasons why we have a First Amendment is expressly to allow us to criticize our leaders. So I understand exactly what you're saying, but what I will tell you is that I expect wholeheartedly that the American people will hold Adam Schiff and the Democrat Party responsible. Because here's the thing, and I said this on today's issues earlier today, this is one of the biggest flubs that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Party has done in recent history, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, she pulled a ready, shoot, aim. I don't think Nancy Pelosi knew the president was going to release the notes from his phone call. I think she was hoping and basing her announcement of the impeachment inquiry, basing that on the public not being aware of what actually transpired on the call. Secondarily, she has now put the entire Democratic Party and the eventual Democrat nominees in a very difficult position. Because you have many of the American people, including Democrat voters, who don't support impeachment. And at the same time, you have some, the most, I would say, vocal component of the Democrat Party, the most extreme progressives, with the Justice Democrats and Ilhan Omar and that group, they are seething for impeachment. So now, she's stuck. Because what will happen to her if she doesn't actually file articles for impeachment? And as an aside, let me give you a brief summation of the way impeachment works. So the Constitution gives the House of Representatives the sole authority to file articles of impeachment. Articles of impeachment are the presidential and political equivalent of an indictment. They're merely an accusation, all right? In order for those articles of impeachment to be filed, the Judiciary Committee and the House of Representatives have to file them. A majority of the Judiciary Committee has to vote affirmatively to move them on to the full House of Representatives. And the full House of Representatives, a simple majority, that's 218 representatives, have to agree that they believe the president should be removed from office by voting affirmatively concerning the articles of impeachment. Now, at that point, the Senate then has the sole authority to conduct a trial concerning the articles of impeachment. So no matter what happens in the House, the Senate, which currently has a majority of Republicans, would have to agree to conduct the trial. If the House does move to impeach the president, there's nothing that indicates that the Senate will even conduct the trial. So you would have done all of this for naught. Then, if the Senate does conduct the trial, a supermajority of senators, that will be 67 out of the 100, would have to vote affirmatively to have the president removed. I'm just going to tell you, that ain't happening, Captain. That's not going to happen. So now you have, Nancy Pelosi, who's already, and for even though she used her words carefully, saying in an impeachment inquiry, the communication to her base was, yeah, we're going to impeach the president. If she backs off of that now, that's a wrap for the Democrats. That is a wrap for them. And if she goes forward with it, that's a wrap for the Democrats. Because the American people know, all right, you guys, y'all love President Trump until he's about to be Hillary. After he was elected prior to his inauguration, you guys were talking impeachment. Then you have this entire collusion delusion that came out to be a dud. For 2.5 years, you told the American people. I mean, Adam Schiff is the same guy who told the American people he had evidence that the president committed a crime. The same guy. Still to this day. I'm looking for your evidence, man. I don't see nothing. I cannot see no evidence. And listen, the fact that you have now the same Adam who they call pencil neck shifter, but I'm not going to call him pencil neck, though, making a parody of what the president said to the Ukrainian president. You know what that means, folks? That they have zilch. You know how I know? If you have evidence, you don't have to make up a parody. You just told the world that y'all don't have nothing. And now Nancy Pelosi has ran out there with her pursed lips saying that she's announcing an impeachment inquiry. They have no facts, nothing to base it on. And now, as my dad used to say, they're up a creek without a paddle. To the phone lines we go. Next to Kansas, where Mary is on the line. Mary, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, Mr. Hamilton, my husband and I were sitting in a doctor's office today discussing Bishop E.W. Jackson, which is a very good person to come to American Family Radio, and on his talking about a lot of things that you're talking about on your program. And there was another couple sitting there, and they were listening, but I didn't know until after I came out from my MRI that he walked out and said, well, I've got to get out of here because I've got to get away from these Republicans. But I'm just stating that if they impeach President Trump and he's done so much for us and that our socialist government would take over, Eddie and I would not be having our treatments because in Canada and England, they just say, sit on the back burner, you're too old. So I was just going to bring that up, but we're not going to stop talking calmly out in public, and we don't make a nuisance of ourselves. But also, there's 12 Republicans, I call them the Dirty Dozen, that keep interfering with President Trump putting the wall up. And so find out if your representative is one of them, and I let mine know I was very unhappy with him. So thank you, Mr. Hamilton, all of you guys on American Family Radio. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Mary, for your call and your comments. Thank you very, very much. We'll go next to Arkansas, where Don is on the line. Don, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Hamilton. The day of rest. I tell you, it don't seem like much of a day of rest to me, because we're talking about Sunday. Get up early, you know, you shower, you shave, you get dressed, you go to Sunday school, you go to service. You get out of service and you go to a lunch somewhere, or you come home and cook, and then you clean dishes. Then you get a couple, 3 hours. Then you do it again to go to night service. Actually, on my day of rest, I get to go to bed later than I do during the weekdays.
Don, I'm sorry, we're coming close to the end of the show. I'm sorry you feel like your day of rest is not very restful, but guess what? Sabbath wasn't, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So if you need to make some adjustments to get rest in, well, all we need to do is make those adjustments. But I certainly appreciate your call and your comments and everyone who's called. I know I had some other callers who were holding that I weren't able to get to. But nevertheless, if you do not yet know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't harden your hearts when the Spirit of God draws you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith. Family.